Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. We give you the honor and the glory. Thank you that you help us, Lord. We speak wisdom and revelation. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm about to close up this study series, Teach Us How to Pray. And I think this time we'll be seeing Prayer of Agreement. Prayer of Agreement. This title is a very misunderstood series. And many Christians are discouraged because it doesn't work, they say. Prayer doesn't work, but it does. The issue is, you need to know how to operate in it. In past sessions, I was sharing with you how prayer is like a sport. There are people who say, oh, it's because prayer. Well, prayer is prayer. Be it however it is, as long as God knows and he knows our hearts. No, the issue is we give lots of place to the devil when we pray for just any other thing. Words give a lot of place to the devil. Words need to be focused on. As we saw at the beginning, prayer, the main reason to pray is to praise and honor God. It's vital that we understand that. In the New Testament, the motive, your motive, is fundamental. The motive, whatever your motive is, fundamental in the New Testament. If you don't understand the motive, prayer won't work for you. But, let's say in the moment of intimacy with the Lord, not everything is just now, oh Lord, I love you, I praise you, I bless you. Not always, not all the time. You'll know when the Spirit of God will prompt you. The Spirit of God will prompt you. Where we'll use other prayers, where we'll pray in the Spirit, we'll confess the Word, but also we'll pray for someone else, we'll intercede for someone else. Intercede again, it's another series that I have to explain. What's happened in the body of Christ over the years is people can see something here, a subject in the Bible, and they take it to other extremes. That is either falling in hearsay or in blasphemy and falling in false doctrines. For example, intercession. Where I come from, and I have to be careful because nowadays people are easily offended. But from Pentecostal groups where I come from, in that intercession were almost as if it were part of the five gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who is the brother or sister who is going to intercede and would be done whatever that person said? Because while they were interceding, then they would prophesy and forget about it. The pastor couldn't say, hey, well, I think the Lord has directed me to do this, because the sister interceding would say no. So intercession is later lost. And then you also think that if you don't intercede, nothing will happen. But intercession should be this. Intercede simply means to speak for someone else. I won't speak on prayer in intercession. I don't even think there's such a thing. I'm not entirely sure. If I were to call it that way, that's fine from a point of view where I'm going to pray for someone else. But you have to understand that in reality, he who intercedes for us, that in Romans, it's the Lord Jesus who intercedes for us. Literally, it's the Lord Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit here on this earth. And then he uses us as a vessel. But you have to understand that part. If not, you go with the idea that without you, prayer won't work. Make myself understood or not? You have to take your place when you're going to pray. Well, with that being said, all of this will happen while you're praying. And prayer should be something very important. The average Christian does not pray. And I'll tell you something, you can tell. The Christian that doesn't pray, you can tell. When you spend time with the Lord, you can tell. I have three, four cats, and one of them is the one that is always, almost always with me. And then whenever Summer grabs him and says, "You smell like your dad," talking about me. But when I grab him, it just smells the same to me. But then my kids will tell me, "No, he smells like your perfume, your cologne." But I just put that example in the natural. When you spend time with God, you can tell. A carnal Christian, carnal means guided by the five senses, not guided by the Holy Spirit. An easily offended Christian, those Christians who just are always watching things on their phone that they shouldn't, is because they don't spend time with the Lord. But if you're used to praying, confessing the word, to thinking on God, your life will change. It'll give a shift and it'll guide you to the word of God. You cannot seek God without seeking the word of God. You cannot know God without knowing his word. Have you ever spoken with Christians who say, "Oh yeah, I have a relationship with God," but they don't know a single biblical verse? All they speak of God is from their own ideas. One time, one of the youth told my son, "Oh, I don't go to church, but I have a relationship with God." You think that youth has a relationship with God? No. When you have a relationship with God, truly, the relationship with God will guide you to the word, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the word. For example, one time someone told me here in Douglas, in a restaurant here, he told me, "Oh, I have my own relationship with God. I don't need to read the Bible." You really believe that? If you believe that, you need to be a good disciple. You need to be a better disciple. God and his word, you cannot remove him from it. So prayer of agreement has power. Every now and then you know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, there's no power in prayer. Now let's explain prayer of agreement. Praying for someone else. And prayer of agreement indicates this. Indicates that you, as to say, will ask for someone to agree with you in a necessity that you may have. You hear that? One more time. It means you will ask someone to agree with you for a necessity that you may have. But who is the one that has a necessity? You or the other person? Huh? You. Not the other person. Groups in church, groups of prayer nowadays on social media and all that, that will always have people that follow them. You know who they are? It's the groups that they ask for prayer. The average Christian, this isn't to criticize, but I want you to see, I need to say this so you can know what's going on, because perhaps some of you don't know this, but it happens a lot. The average Christian does not understand what prayer of agreement is. More so, in certain churches, there was before, from the ones where I come from, they would call time of petition. Perhaps do any of you come from a time like that? You see, one thing is a petition, another thing is praying for agreement, two completely different things. So the idea that some brothers in Christ have, God bless them. It's as if I'm in this church and I ask for the brothers in Christ to pray for me, then they think this: "Oh, since there's so many of them and I'm just one, God," because they're asking God, how many of you came to the last service? When we read about the unfair judge over there in Luke, the idea that they represent is that you have to be bothering God a lot up until finally God is tired of you and he concedes to your prayer. Do you understand? That's how people see it, and which is why prayer of agreement, many don't consider it important. Or others don't believe because they say, oh, it doesn't work. This prayer doesn't work. Prayer of agreement, you also have to understand what you're going to be asking for. For example, again, I'm going to say nonsense of what I've heard from other people, from Christians. For example, would you pray for someone? Suppose you, brother and sister, you, here. A brother in Christ comes, man or woman, the sister. Suppose they come here with my sister Monica here. And someone comes and says, brother, sister Monica, can you agree with me? Because I need to pray so that everything can go well. I'm divorcing my husband because I met another man. Would you pray for a petition like that? Well, you don't imagine the amount of nonsense that people can ask for sometimes. And sometimes you don't have all the information. Which is why sometimes prayers don't work. Because, for example, in prayer groups, in prayer chains, Sister Holy is asking for prayer that her husband doesn't have a job anymore and he needs another job. Well, okay. How can you pray there? What is the husband's name? Oh, Brother Johnny. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you give a job to Brother Johnny. That's the most we can pray for because you don't know all information. And then our sister says, you later learn that, oh, Sister Holy, how did it go? Oh, very good. And my husband already has a job. Not the best. They pay him very little. He has very few hours. One day he goes to work, another he doesn't. But Sister Holy is mad with the whole church, not here with you, but just in general. Because, well, she asked for prayer and she expected a better job for her husband. But the information that the church has is not the best either. Understand, she just asked for a job. Do you understand? So if I'm going to ask, I'll give you an example. If I tell any one of you, brother, sister, agree with me, please. Because I'm about to start more in greater volume my business of boar goats. Just agree with me for wisdom. To know how to invest the money and how to administer that money. I'm basing my faith on Deuteronomy 28, 4, and 5. That means if I say I'm basing my faith, that means that I, every day, me, this is me asking you that you agree with me. These are important points. So I tell you, I am basing my faith. So if I tell you this, it's that you at least know where I'm basing my faith on. And then I tell you, I'm basing my faith on Deuteronomy 28 from 1 to verse 5. That means that I, every day I say, Father, thank you because I have the finances, I have the wisdom, I have all the necessary equipment, tractors, infrastructure, necessary fencing, you have all my cattle. Because for sheep and goats, you need special fencing, not just like average fencing when you have cattle. Where everything is ready, everything is placed. And I tell you where my faith is based on. How many Christians that ask for prayer, you in groups, especially in social media, you hear that? No, they just say, well, I ask for prayer because my husband, so that my husband doesn't stop drinking because he's a drunk. But I told him if he doesn't stop drinking, he's going to go to hell. Just nonsense like that. And then they say, oh, prayer doesn't work. How is it going to work with those types of nonsense? There's no sincerity. You have to take this seriously. You're using faith here. And you're asking someone else. That's another thing. Here's another point. Imagine a person here. Well, before continuing, go to Matthew 18 verse 19. Be careful with this, with what I'm going to share with you, because sometimes prayer of agreement can kill you instead of blessing you. Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth, so that at least two of you, not just yourself, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, now anything, any nonsense, no. It has to be based on the word of God. It has to be directed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will guide you to the word. It will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Can you see it? It will be done by my Father who is in heaven. So you have to ask for something that's in line with the word of God. And also, again, I wanted to base on what I'm seeking here because this is something serious. Notice. The King James Version, the original King, you agree with something here. Again, I say that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, as to say you're already grabbing onto it, means you need faith. You need to believe that you have it. So this means then that if you are going to ask for someone else, this is important if you want to know. Prayer of agreement between believers, first of all, will work in a matrimony. But again, it's not automatic. You have to be what? In agreement. The husband and wife need to be in agreement. They need to pray. They need to be directed by the Lord. As Nubia knows this. Nubia has these same verses, the same verses that I have. She has these same images that I have. She has them. We're in agreement. They're not ideas that just occur to us. It's in prayer. And every day. Prayer of agreement. We don't need to be praying together. We just pray together perhaps the first time that we first agreed on this. So again, these are important points. If you want to see, if you want to see greater abundance in this agreement. For example, the wife wants a bigger house. I'll give you an example. Wife wants a bigger house, or wants to remodel the house, or add another bedroom. But the husband is of those where, just brings everything he finds on the streets. He has a mess. You think there's agreement? No, there's no agreement. You think finances are going to flow? Thing is, don't even pray. Again, you might as well not pray. Nothing's going to happen. Put your house in order. Put your house in order in the natural and the spiritual. You think there's agreement in those matrimonies that are constantly fighting like dogs and cats? You're all very quiet. And we're believing God for this and the other. It's possible that you'll have it in your own strength. You yourself will accomplish it, but God won't be there. Those matrimonies that are constantly fighting, those matrimonies that speak to each other in those despective tones of voices as if they're always mad. Those husbands that they almost growl at their wives, or vice versa. There's no agreement there. There has to be agreement, at least, not just with words, but with an attitude. Amen. There should be peace. This is agreement in a family, in a home. Amen. Those sisters that scream for everything. My God. The husbands already know when the Christians have issues. Oh, but you always want to talk to Christ about them and testify. And then, this is serious. What I'm telling you is serious. I say it this way in perhaps a sarcastic tone to laugh and to be joyful, but what I'm telling you is serious. You already knew the ministry of the blankets, right? Yeah, because we can't be with this or the other. I don't know. I like it to be cold here, and it's not. There's no agreement, you see? With these lights, you feel like you're cooking yourself. It smells like pastor tacos here. But another example of this. When children are growing up. Oh man, when they're growing up. And then that in that adolescent stage. First of all, there needs to be father of the household to sit down with their children. Again, this is prayer of agreement, right? And sometimes they say, what does prayer have to do? Look, my brothers and sisters, prayer will not work in your life if you do not remove certain obstacles that there are. And I'm saying that it's the devil that will put obstacles in your prayer if you give place to him. For example, when children are growing up. And one more time, here's another point. Talking about fathers, you need to know how to put order at home. The authority of a father needs to flow, needs to come out. There are some parents where everything comes out except authority. But that authority will only flow when that father spends time with the Lord. And some parents say, oh no, it's because I have to work 8-10 hours outside. But yeah, I can assure you that you can make some time to pray. And you know what meditating means? Any of you know what meditating means? I've mentioned it a few times now. Someone tell me a definition of meditating. To study, what else? To think? Study, think towards something, that's meditating. To murmur, to speak something at a low voice, that's murmur, that's meditating. So when you're constantly worrying at your job, you're worried, you're thinking on something, you're meditating on it. Well, you can meditate on the word, think on it, but truly, apart from that, what you meditated and thought throughout the day, you can pray it at night, you can pray it in the morning. Because what I'm saying is nowadays, we've made a gospel. The gospel is being diluted. There are two things that you need to know. If you're a disciple of the word, you need to know. There are two issues that are happening in the body of Christ in general. That starts with L. Word with the L. Two extremes. Well, legalism, religion, dead works. The other is liberalism, Christian liberalism. Christian liberalism is the one that uses the grace of God, dilutes the word, using the grace of God as an excuse to live in the flesh. For example, I was talking with something and I had already learned about this. But in the Phoenix area, as I'm talking, this moment that I'm talking right now, the grand majority of churches no longer have services, in midweek services. Just some time ago, I was talking with a leader from a church on the phone who called me. I didn't even have his number. It's rare that I answer a phone number that I don't have. For some reason, I answered. Tell me, Brother Hughes, how are you? And I didn't know who he was. I didn't remember. I'm so-and-so. I said, how are you? And we started talking, asking how his pastor was, his church. That we're good, but we don't no longer have our midweek services. Sundays around 250 people, but in our midweek services about 10 people. And I remember because I was sharing with Nubia when I started preaching more than 20 years ago in Phoenix, it was in the midweek services more than Sundays. But nowadays, all that is going away now. We have a generation with no church. There's no agreement with God. Nowadays, everything is online. But ask God if he wants everything to be online. Back then, some of you perhaps remember. How many of you remember in your time of poverty where you didn't have a car? Where perhaps you came from a small town in Mexico. And you didn't have a car and you do the most possible to go to church. There, someone took you there. I remember when I paid someone. Nui and I know that family very well. He lent me his car with the condition that I would fill up the tank. Remember, Nubia? I had to fill up the tank or at least put in a certain quantity. where it would be more than half a tank, at least three quarts. So I could borrow the car when I lived in the Phoenix area to go to the services. We'd pay the price. Nowadays, many people have better cars. They live better than before. But it may seem as if those commodities have made it to where people have become lazier instead of becoming more grateful. Amen.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
Those times are going away now, which is why nations and countries and society has fallen into so many issues, because we've kicked God. We've kicked God out. But now, returning to this point, this is between matrimonies. If you have adolescent, talking to parents here, if you have adolescent children, it's very necessary that you sit down with them, speak with them, with the word, and that you parents give example at home as well. What do you speak as parents in front of your children? There are parents, it's talking about Christians here, they have an issue with another brother in Christ, and then they are talking the issue, the husband and the wife, at lunchtime in front of their children, poisoning their children. You think there's agreement there? There's no agreement. There won't be agreement. Prayers won't work. Another error that matrimonies do is supposedly they're in agreement of something. Agreement, let's say a way to understand it, like a covenant between prayer, husband and wife. But then husband is discouraged and is talking cursings all over or the wife. Do you think prayer is going to work there? No. I'm giving the reason as to why sometimes prayers don't work. There's no agreement with God. There's no agreement with his word. There's no agreement in Christian families. Now, suppose that outside of your family, you agree with someone, with a brother in Christ. The interested one is you. You're the one asking for someone else to agree with you. So you have to choose to whom you're going to agree with. One of the errors that the body of Christ does is sister so-and-so in this place was detected with an incurable disease. And you know what these holy sisters do? They publish it on their social media. in a prayer group, because there's 2,000 members on that prayer group in Facebook. You know what? The majority of them are going to agree, but to kill you. You know why? With their words. They're going to say, oh yes, sister, we're here praying for you. But then, oh, did you know? Do you know that sister so-and-so was detected with an incurable disease? Ooh, you know what? My aunt died of that. And the sister that you're sharing this with, oh yeah, turns out my cousin died of that too. Ooh, I don't know how this is going to go for her. And the other time I found her there in Walmart. And I found her in Walmart and she looked very bad. Honestly. She had her eyes very, very worn out. She looked like a raccoon. Those are the prayer agreements. It may seem like a joke, but this happens every day. If you really want this prayer agreement to work. Okay, let's go to another example here in Romans 15. Verse 30. Now I beg you, this was a letter here. Paul must have had a lot of confidence towards these people that he sent this letter to. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Notice how he said, praying to God for me, agreeing. And the moment that these brothers here in Rome were going to pray for Apostle Paul, it's also a prayer of intercession, correct? But there was agreement first. So you can see here how much Apostle Paul respected and believed in these prayers. But these people must have been people who trustworthy and brothers in Christ who were very trustworthy and very mature. Knowing how the Apostle Paul worked, I don't think he just let it go through the Facebook that there was in Rome at the time. This is serious. I say it to, you know, have a good time here. But if you want to see a prayer of agreement, you have to get serious with this. Whom are you going to share this with? Whom are you going to agree with? And then, here's another thing. Are you sure that person is a person who prays? Because they could just say, oh yeah, I'm praying for you. One time, years ago, I went to the area there in Mesa. And when I was coming back, I went through a apartment complex to greet another family of brothers in Christ that I knew years ago. And when I left that apartment complex, I found another brother in Christ. And they all know each other. They're everyone that I'm mentioning here. Another brother in Christ, he was on the sidewalk and saying, oh, Brother Hughes, how are you? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm praying for you, brother. And he was surprised. Because I don't know, I think he was expecting me, because if I were to say, oh, amen. Oh, glory to God. And all those expressions that Christians use, like religiously, just, oh yes, amen, glory to God. And well, that's not wrong. You didn't hear a heathen say that. I'm not making fun of those expressions. What I'm saying is, we use them just very lightly, just, oh yes, amen, glory to God. But I didn't say that. I said, oh really? What? Why are you praying for me? Like, what are you praying for me? And his joy changed. I'm praying for you. When I said, but what are you praying for? Oh, what do you mean? Like, what are you praying for? Because I want to know, if you're telling me that you're praying for me, what for? Of what? So that I can agree with you. If you're praying, oh, I'm praying, Brother Hughes, for strength, that the Lord may help you more, for better wisdom, that you may hear the voice of God better. Oh, well, amen. Thank you. But just, oh, it's because we use words so loosely. I'm praying for you, and you, oh, amen. Oh, brother, I'm praying for you. For what? Or you say, oh yes, amen, glory to God. And someone tell you, oh, my pastor told me to pray for you. And what are you praying for? Oh, I don't know. You see, it's just religion there. Which is why I've told you how I pray for you. I've given you up to what verses that you could write them down quickly. It is that you believe this. Many Christians don't believe, and I'll tell you something. In our Sunday series, it's barely starting to get good. I'm going to be dealing many subjects there, important subjects. But do you know that there are many Christians who truly have not been born again? They're in churches, some of them were born in the churches. They were in the baby section, in the kindergarten section. If they were a group of youth, they went through the youth section. Some are adults. Perhaps some of them are in the youth section, but have not been born again. How can you know? Well, very simple. When a person is born again truly, they have a desire for the things of God. They have a desire for the things of God. Perhaps some things aren't done perfectly, or perhaps they struggle because they're carnal Christians. Perhaps they get into issues, but there's a desire from God. There's a desire to serve God. There's a desire to be with God, to seek Him. There's a desire there. Why do I mention this? Because if you find with the person to whom you're going to agree with, perhaps they're not even a child of God. Amen. Where's Alex? This is truth. In Psalms 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Verse 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. 2. I thirst for God, the living God. I thirst for God. There are many Christians, many youth, that have been deceived because perhaps they grew up in church, but they don't have an interest for God. The parents say, I don't know why my son doesn't have an interest with the things of God. I don't know, perhaps it is that he isn't born again. Could it be that those parents need to pray and receive from God? This is very probable that they haven't been born again. Because it's best that you know that child of yours, that person that you know truly isn't born again, that you can say, hey, I think you need to be born again. Why? Because how terrible for something to happen to them. They die and go to hell and you think that they're in heaven. Because nowadays we made salvation very easy. Very easy, I don't know if you realize. Oh, just believe with your heart and confess it with your mouth. Well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to deny it, nor am I going to say that you should start just doing dead works to say that you're children of God. But the person who is born again is born again and has a desire from God. I've shared this with you many times. I was about to say testimony. I was going to get very, very, well, however you want to say it, my testimony, my story. I knew when I was born again because something happened in me. I didn't sin comfortably. I don't know. I was very frustrated because I did not understand since no one explained to me. All my mother could tell me, and I'm not blaming her, this is what she was taught. When my mother told me, it's because you already have Christ in your heart. That's it. It was up until I met my pastor, who is now in heaven, Pastor Gutierrez, who taught me that I was a new creation that had a different nature. Can I show you the pictures? You remember those photos of the cats who were looking up there? Do you have them? Look. As you know, we have cats and we love animals. We have many animals. We have a dog. We have our cats. Look at this. Can you see those three? Can you see them? There's three. One is on the couch. The other two on the bottom. You know what they're looking at? They were looking at kind of like a video that one of my daughters put of birds. They thought that they were real birds up there. You know why they're there? Because they're cats. And sometimes Nuvia, oh, my little boy. Yeah, I love them a lot, but they're cats. I understand that they're cats. And there, the cat came out of them. Because the image and the birds were moving around. And it was you know, those like a YouTube video there. And small birds going up and down. They were moving. And there they were. And if you put an iPad on them, the three sit down there just looking at them. We had to remove it because they were about to pounce on the television. Why? Because they're cats. They're cats. And although they sleep with us and we treat them as if they were little kids, they're cats. Amen. And sometimes they're in the back porch looking at the birds out there. I have a giant screen. And so I just see that they're... Our eyes are going like that, and I think, why are they looking like that? It's because various birds are going from one side to another, and they're just ready to pounce. Why? Because that's their nature. Are you learning something with this? There should be agreement. First, you need to be in agreement with God. I'll sum it up one more time. Not saying that God in you, it's do you agree with what God says? Do you agree with that the word of God is important? Do you agree that God and his word are one and that this word is anointed? This word, this written word, anointed. If you put it here in your heart, just as it is, I could grab this verse, this book, and throw it in the fire there, and it'll burn up and it'll... But I'm saying that if these words, you put them here in your heart and you act on them, there's life in this book then. And then from there, you agree with your family. You see that you sit down with your husband, with your children, with your wives, and say, no more cursing here. No more nonsense. No more terrible words that go against the word of God. No more speaking trash. No more speaking nonsense. No more speaking death and poverty. Amen. And you sit down and you show them there in the Bible the verse that says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Just with that, don't give them their whole Bible, just with one verse, and you establish it and you say, this is what we're going to do. Amen. Amen. And you start speaking and you start sowing. I taught my children to give offering to God, to sow in the kingdom of God for what they're believing for. Not just, oh, well, I'm their dad and I give them everything. No, I've taught them to work. And I've taught them to sow. And I've taught them to give. And when they obtain money, the first thing they do is grab their tithe. Why? That when they're older, they no longer poor. When they're not poor and they don't lack things. And just depending on the government, are just expecting their income taxes. That they go a farther step. And I'm not judging anyone if they have needs from the government. What I'm saying is, there is a greater step. Because in this country, there are people who get used to that. And from their youth to the day that they die, they lived from the government. One more time, I'm not judging anyone, I'm not criticizing anyone, because there are people who perhaps truly need it and are very, very bad financially speaking. And praise the Lord on one hand for that. I'm not defending that system of just giving money to people, but perhaps there are people who do need it. But if you start putting the word of God in your heart, you will prosper. If you start giving, sowing in the kingdom of God, I remember when my pastor who was in heaven, I'm seeking things that when he told me this, for me, it was agreement between him and me. I remember where I was more broke than the Ten Commandments. And I remember I went from Mesa to Tucson. This is many years ago. And I remember We receive the offerings. Because I don't like to arrive late. One part I consider it's just simply I don't like it. It's part of my discipline. Well, that time that it was a Wednesday. And there was tremendous traffic, and I got out of work there from Phoenix. And I was in Phoenix. All the way to South Mesa where I lived. Showered, got ready, and then to leave Mesa, grabbed I-70, if you know that area there, and then grabbed I-10. It was tremendous traffic. Tremendous traffic. Cars everywhere. And when I arrived there, where praise and worship had started, and where I sit normally on the back seat, on the seat behind him, there were people there, and I didn't know what to do. And in that moment, an usher came to sit me down somewhere else. My pastor turned, he said, come here. And he sat me right next to him. Between Mama Belen and him. There was a seat between them. And for some reason, Mama Belen was moving in praise and worship. And she went towards another side. And he put me there next to him. And he said, once I go to preach there, just sit down here. But there I was next to him. But before that, he received offerings. I realized when he made a check, because he wouldn't give cash. He would give check, and people knew, well, like the check was in his name. So he would make it like an airplane. He'd fold it in half. Offering came by, and he'd just stick it in there. So I saw before someone went up there to give announcements and things of the sort, someone else. That moment, they were about to receive offerings. Speaking on offerings, and I saw when the check said $50. This is what? 24 years ago. Give or take. And I said $50. I thought myself. And then he went up there. And then he taught, received offerings. When the service was over, I wanted to know, because I saw it. Not that I was nosy, because I wanted to learn. To this day, I have desire for the word of God, hunger for the word. And if someone needs to know, it's this one. I wasn't just losing my time and just learning nonsense. If I was going to go to church and waste my time there, it's best if I didn't go. So I wanted to know. And when my pastor put that in, I said, Pastor, I want to talk with you. He was talking with other people, and there I am, pulling on his suit. Pastor, can I talk with you? And he said, yeah, hold. And I'll give me a moment here. And when he finished, I was the first one. I said, Pastor, it's because I need to talk to you. My pastor thought that I had an issue or something. He said, what can I said, Pastor, it's because I need to learn about that. That you spoke on it, that you spoke about offerings. But what do you want to know? It's because I saw Pastor. When you got a check and wrote $50, said, oh yeah. And in the morning, because they had a service in the morning, because some people who couldn't, how times have changed, huh? People who could not come in the morning because they had work, they asked him, they begged him to open a service in the morning to not lose their study. Nowadays, well, everything's online. How things have changed, huh? But people asked. And in the morning when I came, I gave one the same. And I thought, remember, forgive my perverse, unrenewed mind. $100. Again, 24 years ago, it was quite a chunk of change. That how can I give that if I didn't even, make that much in a week? That on Sunday, I give another one the same. No, well, I felt like I was about to lose all strength there. And back then, he also had another service in the afternoon. And how times have changed. That ended Sunday in the afternoon, I put another $50. $200! I was scared. I had never heard a single Christian, much less a pastor, so generous as that. I hadn't heard of that. Well, you know what happened? That explained that to me. Well, Pastor, I don't even make that a week. How can I make? How can I do that? He said, and he laughed. I said, of course, the Bible says that first, you shall be accepted what you have, not what you don't have. But if you're constant and you do it in faith, money is as a seed. And he explained what many of you, I believe you know, forgotten it, Genesis 10. Genesis 10. Well, now that I'm speaking on this, go to Genesis 1, 10 and 11. You see, because there needs to be agreement. First, you have to have agreement with God. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea, and God saw that it was good. 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yields seed. The herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. According to its kind, whose seed is in itself. New Living Translation, verse 11. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. So my pastor was sharing this with me, the Bible. End of the service, he was explaining to me, the Bible is there. And my God, I had a notebook there and I'm writing things down. When you're interested in the word, God will honor you. When you're not, God will love you, but he won't honor you. Difference. Amen. Well, what this is saying them, and then from there took me to 2 Corinthians 9. And I said, So Pastor, God sees it as seed? He said, you know it well. So he was understanding it now. I was understanding. And then 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. My pastor telling me, but this I say, he who sows sparingly. So when you speak of seed, my pastor telling me here, what do you think on seed? But if you were to read chapter 8, read it at home. When you arrive at Mesa, when you have some time, read chapter 8 and 9. He told me that way. Read chapter 8 and 9. But remember, read it with that mentality. Apostle Paul was speaking of offerings here. This is so interesting. I said, Pastor, but I can't give that amount of money. What do I do? He said, tell me this. Look, there are two ways of giving. And since he explained it to me, remember, you have to understand this. Now that I'm explaining this right now, my pastor was with his Bible here, and I had my Bible. The people had already left. We were in the front rows there. I was right there, knelt on a seat, writing things down. And then my pastor tells me, as he showed me in 2 Corinthians, look at what 9:7 says. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. There are two ways of giving. You can propose in your heart, right there. But also, you can depend on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. He took me to Romans 8:14. It says that the children of God are led by the Spirit. And then I asked him, Pastor, how did you do it? And I said, I depend on the Holy Spirit. He told me how much. What is my participation? How much is good for me? All of this, you know what? Yeah, this is all agreement. I agreed with him. I was in agreement with him. Not saying, what's up with this guy? I agreed with the word. And I told my pastor this week, Pastor, can you pray for me? I didn't tell him a prayer of agreement because I didn't know back then. He told me, do you want me to agree with you? And I answered, if that's what it is, yeah, then yes. What do you want? I want to where I never lack to give from here on out. So then, every time that I come here to this church, I want to come here and God will give me seed to give. Oh, that's good. Well, let's agree then on verse 10. And he took me to verse 10. Verse 10 says that God gives seed to the sower. He just prayed for me. He started praying for me, praising God, thanking him. And I remember he told me, and Father, your son, from his heart, he wants to participate in this because he loves you with his eyes closed. And you will give him seed to sow because you say it in your word. And I had such joy in my heart that amen. You know why? I knew that would take me out of poverty and I could be a blessing to the kingdom of God and someone else. I knew it. Right there, I saw it. But you know how it happened? That I saw. And instead of saying, oh, what do I care? I wasn't nosy to see how much this brother gave or how much the pastor gave just to want to know. That's because I wanted to know why he gave. With good reason. He said, when Belen and I started, we wouldn't give this much. And every year, harvest comes and I increase my offering. And one day, just speaking with each other just years after this, between our talk, years ago, more than 20 years ago, he said, this year, Belen and I could give more than $200 in the God. By this time, I wasn't that scared. I said, I'm going to reach that level in any. But the average Christian, a little brother, oh, well, what am I ever going to reach that? I'm desperate so that the government can give me the income tax. See how much I can get from the taxes. See, those types of brothers in Christ, God bless them, they will always be in a low state, always be complaining. They can vote in a country, they're going to vote for a president that always helps them in what promises they can be giving. They'll never think what good that man or that woman can do for the nation, for the country. No, they're always seeing what benefits they can. And like that, brethren, there's many Christians. It's very sad to think that way. That when we have such a great gospel, so powerful. No, times are difficult. But if you maintain yourself with your mouth, you maintain yourself in agreement with your wife, and in any of you say, oh, Brother Hughes, my husband doesn't even believe in this. He's a heathen. Well, then you agree with someone else. At least start agreeing with God and His Word. Believe and receive His Word. Amen. Then with someone that you consider mature. I remember when I agreed with my pastor. From that day on, my life financially started changing. Little by little, not from one day to another, but little by little. My health as well. Little by little. Glory to God. And never will God finish with you. God hasn't finished with me in Nubia and I in our financial area. And then I hear some faith partners who talk with me of things that they're believing for. Great things. Gives me joy. Because the word, they don't let any other thing or any other issue discourage them. When you just think, oh, well, me. Especially if you come from AP. Oh, well, me. Here. What am I going to do here in the ghetto? You can't even agree with God. But if you say, here, you're in the ghetto, and suddenly, you start seeing more blessing. And you even shower more. I'm very nice to church. Neighbors looking around you. And suddenly your house starts becoming nicer. And it's the best one there in the ghetto. They're in the hood. It's in the hood, but it's the best one. It stands out because a child of God lives there. You see the difference? They're in the ghetto. The hood, but hey. What if they say, oh, come on. Or, oh, he thinks he's rich or something. Ignore that. You just continue following. Continue believing in the Lord. Let go of that mentality that tariffs or this or the other. I have people scared because of that. I told you, you depend on God. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're different. You're peculiar. Change your way of thinking. This is so good, huh? Remember the first one who told me this was my pastor in heaven. He just prayed that. Suddenly, I went, the pastor? Well, I can't give 50 those years ago. But I started with something. And then remember Nubia? And I explained that to Nubia. But look at what my pastor taught. Oh, what's that? And I explained. We were dating back there in Mesa. I lived in another house. Family that would rent a room for me. We wouldn't see each other every day. But we ended up seeing each other. I learned about this and she taught me. Something that I saw in Nubia was hunger. A thirst for the word of God. We'd sit down with the Bible. Glory to God. To this day. Hasn't changed. We ended up going together to Tucson, Phoenix. Just here to Sierra Vista. You know what? Speaking plans of God of the Word. Amen. I'll continue with this later. But be careful with whom you're going to agree with. Stand on your feet.
Thank you, Jesus. If you're the person that be in agreement with something, be ready with the word. And make sure that the person that you're going to is a person of prayer. And that they'll remember. They'll say, I'm in agreement with my brother. And I raise them in prayer. Don't be asking for anyone. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are good and that your mercy is forever. We love you and we praise you. Thank you because there's prayer. We give you thanks for your presence. Thank you that for the stripes of Christ, we have been healed. We speak the name of Jesus. We speak healing to those who need it. We speak healing to their bodies. I curse any acts of the devil and that the Spirit of God raises in their bodies. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing. Order that healing to be manifested. We cast out any sickness. We give you thanks for healing. We believe that we receive it. Thank you. And just the same way that we sow in a soil on earth, that same seed grows in finances because you said it, you promised it, and your word is true. And we praise you and love you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe it? Do you believe it before? Amen. Remember, this isn't an emotion. You have to receive it and aggressive. I believed it. I'm going to be out of this and free from poverty up until now. So the glory. You have to be different.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have, or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your Word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.